welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. Hey, David.
How are you?
Well, I'm good, and all true believers are good, but the world, not so much.
Looking at, kind of in a mess.
Yeah,
I was just thinking to myself, horrible. I need a good radio voice like yours.
I don't know about all that, but
anyway, I have a face for radio anyway. But
well, I know I do. That's the reason I chose radio over TV. David, go ahead and pray us into the show because we're really going to need it today as we get this out there.
All right, Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all you have given us and all you have done for us to redeem us from the pit of miry clay. We thank you, Father, for your word and the ability to reach the nations, because your word says that we will reach every nation before your return, and that has happened. This internet and shortwave radio and everything is just amazing technology, which before our lifetime wasn't even available. So we ask that your anointing go out and your Holy Spirit be entered into people around the globe as we speak your word and bring light and truth. Father, we ask that as people see the doom and gloom that's out there, that they would be turning to you because they know that you are the light at the end of the tunnel, if you would, and you are the king that is about to return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One thing I want to say right off the top here is we're members of the U.S. Press Association, and the reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to be showing some clips, and we get those courtesy of Fox News and other news outlets all over the world. So I want y'all to bear that in mind because I do have several today, and what we're going to show you is that, you know, you better start preparing it. I'm not talking about prepping. Okay, I mean, you know, you got all this prep stuff. Everybody wants to prep for the zombie apocalypse or you know, prep for the whatever.
They had a kit on the CDC website, how to prepare for zombie apocalypse. I downloaded it. They took it off because everyone was making fun of them. But I actually downloaded it. If anyone wants to see it, just email me, thehiddenday@protonmail.com. I'll send you the zombie apocalypse preparedness kit.
There you go. But, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being prepared for your eternity. And what we're looking at here is World War III is prophesied. It is inevitable. I'm not saying that it says in the Bible, World War III. You know, instead it says things like Gog Magog, you know. But it's coming. Any way that you look at it, World War III is coming, and everybody had better be prepared for it. So anyway, I'm just going to start. I'm going to start off, David, and I'm going to give you guys the bad news. But I'm also, before we're done, David and I are going to give you the good news. So, you know, just hang on a minute. Here we go.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Heyer with your Week in Review, a roundup of what's been making headlines from across the globe. This week, Ukraine marked 1,000 days since Russia's invasion, with Russia's President Vladimir Putin on Friday confirming that his army used a new experimental missile inside Ukraine. This in response to Ukraine firing American and British-supplied missiles into Russian territory. Megumi Lim has been following developments from Kyiv.
After the Thursday attack, Ukraine claimed the missile was an intercontinental ballistic missile and said investigations were being carried out to identify the weapon. Authorities said the strike caused damages to businesses and critical infrastructure and that at least two people were injured. The Oreshnik missile, which is an intermediate-range ballistic missile, is capable of carrying a nuclear warhead. But President Putin said it was not nuclear-armed in this attack. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said the use of this experimental ballistic missile by Russia amounted to a clear and severe escalation in the war and called for strong worldwide condemnation.
Okay. Now, I superimposed a video over that just briefly to let you guys see the actual hits that took place inside the Ukraine. And when you looked at that video, you may have noticed that there were several strikes involved there, when, in fact, this is one missile. not a bunch. This is one missile. What it does is it allows for multiple warheads to be distributed off of one missile, David, just one. And
that's kind of genius.
Yeah, and Putin said that this thing travels at 10 times the speed of sound. Now, that's debatable. You know, the United States argues and says, no, it's not possible. You know, five is about it. But Russia says...
Well, even five is like, okay, how are you going to catch it?
Yeah. So, anyway, listen to this one real quick.
We have many types of weapons that we have not yet used, from lasers to small arms. Therefore, we have something to surprise the West with. There is a lot to do. The West has nothing of it except for the aircraft carriers that can be destroyed by our hypersonic missiles. Unlike the United States, which has nuclear warheads in Germany, Italy, and other countries, ours are only located on our territory in Belarus. However, we were made to place them in Belarus to protect our brotherly nation, which is absolutely right.
Okay. So, I don't know if he's lying or if he's telling the truth. I have no idea. I mean, he's...
Well, either way, you don't want to play with him.
No. No, you don't. Know? No.
And,
no.
Just, you know, when Trump was in last time, he made friends with everybody. That doesn't mean that they're good people, necessarily. Mm-hmm. It means, okay, let's not argue so we don't kill each other off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's look at this one now real quick.
The furious reaction from Trump insiders over reports that President Joe Biden has given Ukraine the go-ahead to use U.S.-supplied long-range ATACMS missiles to their full capacity. Up until now, the Ukrainians have not been allowed to use those weapons to strike at targets on Russian soil, even though they have a sufficient range to strike at least 200 miles inside the country.
If it is true, it is one of the most egregiously irresponsible acts of any sitting president in modern times.
Sebastian Gorka advised President Trump during his first term in office and is tipped to return to the president's national security team in January.
The idea that we are 62 days away from the inauguration means that there should be no serious military strategic action taken short of an impending attack against U.S. forces. The idea that he is precipitating further destabilization of Eastern Europe 62 days from the inauguration of President Trump, it just boggles the mind.
Biden officials say the president's decision was designed to punish Russia for deploying troops from North Korea into the Ukrainian front lines. But many in Washington believe it was also driven by a desire to give Kyiv a military advantage before the Trump team is able to force President Volodymyr Zelensky into peace talks with the Kremlin.
Okay, so Russia has a response.
Moscow claims Ukraine targeted Russian soil for the first time using U.S.-supplied long-range missiles just 36 hours after U.S. President Joe Biden allegedly approved their use against targets within Russia.
According to the Russian Defense Ministry, five of the six missiles aimed at Russia's Bryansk region, bordering Ukraine, were intercepted by air defenses after being launched at 3:25 a.m. local time. However, debris from the sixth missile reportedly ignited a fire at a military facility, the BBC reported. Benjamin Wright reporting.
And then finally, you want to get Zelensky in on this.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has urged European allies to push Russia towards a just peace. This comes on the 1,000-day anniversary since Russia launched a full-scale invasion in Ukraine. William Denslow reports from Brussels.
Addressing the European Parliament via remote, President Zelensky thanked the EU for its support over the past 1,000 days. But he's urged partners to not be distracted by the recent US elections and to continue to apply pressure on Russia. The majority of speakers at the special session of Parliament supported calls for the EU to provide more assistance for Kyiv, but some right-wing members opposed measures that could escalate the conflict. William Denslow, Brussels.
Okay, now, what's interesting about that, David, is Zelensky made that announcement after he got hit by that new missile. So, you know, in other words... it scared the bejesus out of him, okay? Because they even had a one of their legislative branch sessions was scheduled, and The alarms went off, the sirens went off, and they scattered. They got out of there, and they're done.
I'll run away.
They shut it down, you know, and it's the first time that they've done that, because now Russia can they can hit anywhere in the Ukraine. I mean, anywhere. Oh, yeah.
And they always good.
Yeah. And now, you know, they're getting to the point now where we're getting right down to it, you know. They're saying that Biden wants to start World War III before he leaves office. I don't know.
Are they not him per se, because he's, you know, he's a vegetable at this point. Mm-hmm. But they want to, because they're trying anything desperately. Remember, we talked about that before the election. He says he'll probably get elected, and then they'll try anything to keep him out. Mm-hmm. So if we're in the middle of a war, then they can say, oh, it's a national emergency. We can't make any change in government at this point, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Or they're trying to do that and use, was it the 25th Amendment? Basically, yeah. They could say mm-hmm. he's nuts and we gotta take him out now and install Kamala. Mm-hmm. But what they don't realize is that if they do that, the whole administration goes. So she goes with him, and then Trump would be installed right away.
I know that there are some that are pushing for her to become president right now.
They're trying anything. They don't realize that, you know, they're going to keep trying too. But I don't think it's going to happen. They're going to try.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm looking at all these new appointments that he's making, and they're good. You know,
they're ready to beat the hell out of people.
Well, what was really funny is Trump appointed or nominated Matt Gaetz, mm-hmm. a congressman out of Florida, to be the attorney general, and he got a lot of pushback. And you can't tell me he didn't know this was going to happen. I mean, he had a pretty good idea this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So they all went in on him like he's the worst choice that you could possibly make. And, you know, he's not going to make it. And we're going to embarrass the Trump administration right on day one and all this kind of stuff. And Matt Gaetz pulled his nomination. He says, I don't want to be involved in that. You know, this needs to be smooth. I'm not going to go back to Congress, which surprised me. Mm-hmm. More on that in a second. And then he appointed Pam Bondi to be mm-hmm. his attorney general. And let me see.
Which is worse than Matt, because she's going to put more damage on everybody.
Now, listen to this.
Mm-hmm. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's nominating his longtime ally Pamela Bondi as the U.S. Attorney General. The pick comes after his first choice to leave the Justice Department, Matt Gaetz, withdrew his name from consideration due to concerns over allegations of sexual misconduct. Iris Spitzer has the details.
Pamela Bondi served as Florida's Attorney General from 2011 to 2019. She's long been associated with the president-elect, serving as one of his lawyers during his first impeachment trial, and also showed up in court to support him during his hush money trial in New York earlier this year. In a social media post, Trump wrote, "Pam will refocus the DOJ to its intended purpose of fighting crime and making America safe again."
Okay. Now, when he did that, when he appointed her, then the left really went nuts. Mm-hmm. And not because they're going to vote against her. They said she's highly qualified. She's probably the most qualified individual to hold that office in the last 50 years.
Okay? Yeah, easy.
Yeah, what they said was they're scared for one reason. She's competent. Can mm-hmm. you believe? They actually said that. She's competent. That's the reason they're afraid of her. And I'll tell you, they better be afraid of her, because when they get ready to do this this stuff where they're rounding up the illegals, mm-hmm. it's a federal law that you cannot prevent the federal government from exercising its duties. In other mm-hmm. words, a governor can go to jail. A sheriff can go to jail. A county judge can go to jail. A federal judge mm-hmm. can go to jail. You know, I mean, they can come after them. And Pam Bondi is just the kind of person that would say, okay, look, you're going to help our guys. If you don't, report to Leavenworth on this day. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it's going
to
be,
so we're
right?
We're coming to get you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she don't play either.
No, she doesn't. She's hardline. So, you know, I think they would have been better off with Gates. What do you think?
They did it on purpose, because now what are they going to do? Say we don't like her?
Right, right.
You're just, no, now you're just, you know, grasping at straws here. Yeah. Okay, you know, like, we put this one in. And I think that she should probably appoint Gates as, like, the head of something in the DOJ anyway.
Special counsel,
special counsel.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I was a little bit surprised when I saw that he was not going to go back into Congress, because he resigned immediately when Trump nominated him. But he could have withdrawn that, I believe. Now, I'm not 100% on this, but I believe he could have withdrawn his name. If he hadn't have, they're going to have a special election. He could run for that. And when he's popular in his own district, he would have won. You know, so either way, he could go back to Congress if he wanted to, but he said he had no intention to do that. Now, Matt Gaetz is a pretty outspoken guy, and he likes being on TV. Let's not kid ourselves here. He likes being on. Mm-hmm. He likes the spotlight. So I just can't see him retiring now and going and, you know, riding off into the sunset. There's something going on there, right?
Yeah, he's got something up his sleeve. Could be anywhere. I don't know. Maybe they're going to buy MSNBC and put him on air. Who knows?
Speaking of...
MXNBC.
Yeah. Speaking of MXNBC, they are... both NBC, MSNBC and CNN are both up for sale.
You know, are they really?
Yeah, because both of their... both networks are tanked.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, another 50% just in the last few months, right?
Right, yeah. And about 35% since Morning Joe and his wife went to visit Trump. You know, they're down another one. So,
wow.
But anyway.
They got three people left watching them. I think we have more people than CNN.
We do. We do. Yeah. But MSNBC is up for sale, and they pretty much made it public this week. And what was funny is that Elon Musk replied to that with just two words: how much
what's your highest bid? We'll take that.
So don't be surprised. You know, I mean, people laughed when he was going to buy Twitter, which is now X, that he owns. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're laughing right now. I think they're nervous, real nervous.
Yeah, they're terrified. X is like, it's amazing, actually, what he's done to it. Yeah. It's funny because they put out again, we all know he cut 80% of the staff, and now it runs better and more efficiently than it ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's got some good ideas. So I hope he does that with the government.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about $2 trillion worth. Okay, before we leave Russia, I got a couple more reports I want to play for you. This one comes from Fox News, and we're using that as members of the U.S. Press Association. Here we go.
General, talk to us about this.
Oops. Maybe we're not going to hear it after all.
You broke
new,
it.
Here we go.
Sort of sophisticated weapon that Putin is now... He launched some kind of... medium-range ballistic missiles with a lot of warheads on it into Ukraine. Can you talk to us in layman's terms what it does and how alarmed people should be about it?
It's an intermediate-range ballistic missile based off range, and it's got MIRVs on it, multiple independent reentry vehicles, so more than one warhead. It can
meaning
be
they
nuclear
can split
tip.
Up and hit yes, a whole other, lot of
they
targets.
They will break off and hit multiple targets. And again, it can be nuclear-tipped. But they only used one, and it's basically a class of what they call truck-mounted intermediate range ballistic missiles that they've got there. He's used it for psychological reasons, and Jack Keane made a great comment on that. He didn't use it because it was militarily effective, because it hit a city, not very much damage there at all. But he's kind of saying to the West, well, see what I can do. Mm. And this is one where people have backed off. President Biden's backed off. When the minute he said IRBM, ICBM, nuclear war, we said, oh my gosh, we can't go there. That's when you need to lean in, because he is not, he meaning Putin, he will not start a nuclear war in Europe. And you'd remind him, let me make sure you understand, the Brits have nuclear weapons, the French have nuclear weapons, we've got nuclear weapons, don't go there. And we haven't really said that to him. So it's kind of a psychological play.
Okay. Now, I don't know where he gets that Putin won't do something. How does he know? And when is the last time that Putin threatened to do something that he didn't do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to. Clearly, we don't want to start a nuclear war. But maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt today.
Yeah.
If he keeps talking stupid, we'll call him out.
Yeah. Okay, one last one here. Let's listen to this one.
Well, everybody's wondering why Biden suddenly gave permission to Ukraine to launch these attacks deeper into Russian territory. Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about that yesterday at the briefing and gave a typical answer. Listen here.
For a long time, the White House argued that using these long-range TACM missiles into Russia to attack targets inside Russia would escalate the war, would really invite retaliation. Why change the policy now?
I'm just not going to get into specific about Ukraine's operations. Not something that I'm going to do today. But I want to be really clear.
So I guess I'm asking about the specifics of the White House's decision to change policy.
I'm just telling you that I'm not going to get into specifics from here, from the podium.
Yeah, so that's what we've kind of gotten used to, saying nothing about everything. But why now? I mean, he's left this pile of dog, you know what, on Trump's doorstep.
You know, here's what I'm really hoping. I'm hoping that Jake Sullivan talked to Michael Waltz, who's the incoming national security advisor, or President Biden has talked to President Trump and said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm really hoping that happened, because what he has done, Biden, through his action, he's actually given President Trump more leverage.
Really?
Because now he can pull back, he can go left, he can go right, he can do something. And I think what he did is he basically said, well, this is what I want to do, and I'm hoping there's something to this. I don't know, but it does give the President Trump more ability to pivot from that.
Okay, do you agree with that, David? Do you think that's a good move, or what?
Well, you know what? I mean, his wife Jill, the babysitter Jill, she's probably ticked, and she's probably saying, hey, let's give Trump all the power we can. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me if he did it on purpose just so Trump could fix it and look like a good guy. I mean, you have that possibility too.
Yeah.
We shall soon find out, but it's going to be fun and interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Getting away from current events now and turning these current events into prophecy.
Well, prophecy is more current than any current events.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about where current events and prophecy converge, you know, which is what we're all about here. But I've got a specific scripture here for this is Psalm 46, 7 through 11. I'm going to read this real quick. We'll kind of alternate, David, because there's a bunch of scripture today. This Psalm 46, 7 through 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah, which, David, I believe that you said that's kind of reflect on, think about this comment. And then verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease. To the end of the earth, he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. But this is the one verse that we're really focusing on. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And what I want to focus on there, David, is it says, be still and know that I'm God. In other words, God is in control. You know, the world might think it is, but God is, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on your definition. Ultimately,
I mean,
all-knowing,
that he knows what's going on. He's not letting it, nothing's going to happen that he doesn't say, I got to let this go on.
Right, and it's kind of a four-dimensional thing, and that's what it is. So, yes, he is ultimately in control. He created everything and all things, even created evil, like he says in his word. But he had left the workings. He basically took his hands off man to show man that he cannot govern himself.
Mm-hmm.
But that itself is being in control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're in control of this chaos down here, he's up here saying, okay, I let that happen on purpose. Mm-hmm. So on the next level up, he's 100% in control and sovereign. But down on this level, he's allowing us to make our own mistakes. If you
right. Know. Yeah. I think you've said that in many different ways over the past weeks, months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a just God. And, you know, things have to happen in the correct way. Now, I'm going to put something up here. David, I didn't have time to show you this one earlier. Sorry. Let's look at this real quick. This is from Henry Kissinger. This is Kissinger's final warning. Prepare now for superhuman people to control Earth. Now, this comes directly from Henry Kissinger. Says humanity must begin preparations to no longer be in charge of Earth because of artificial intelligence, according to a new book from the late statesman Henry Kissinger and a pair of the country's leading technologists. The rise of AI created superhuman people is a major topic of concern in Genesis, published Tuesday by Little Brown and Company. It's the last book from Kissinger, according to the publisher's parent company. I don't even know how to say that. Hashtag or something. Kissinger was a longtime U.S. diplomat and strategist who died last year at the age of 100. Kissinger's co-authors, former Google CEO Eric Schmidt and longtime Microsoft senior executive Craig Mundell, finished the combined work after Kissinger's death, and the Washington Times has obtained an advanced copy. Mr. Schmidt, Mr. Mundy wrote that they were among the last people to speak with Kissinger and sought to honor his dying request to finish the manuscript. And what is interesting to me there, David, is he's talking about superhumans. He's talking about transhumanism, right?
Yep. Not tranny humanism.
Right.
Where they turn into that. So my question would be this. If they finished the manuscript, was it really Kissinger that wrote that?
Right, yeah. I had the same thought when I was putting that thing together there. And, I'm thinking that if it wasn't him, if it wasn't his deal, there's got to be somebody in the Kissinger family, right? Or, people around him or something that would be able to verify whether or not he was working on this project, whether he was for it, against it, or whatever. And I'm not seeing any rebuttal, which leads me...
Not yet. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We got to talk about it on the second half. We're done.
Oh, man. No, man. We are not anywhere close. What we're going to get to now is a lot of scripture and a lot of what's going on with Israel, primarily. In case you haven't heard, there's a lot of countries that want to put the Prime Minister of Israel in jail. I mean, like right now. And so we need to get into it. We need to talk about it. And, of course, we need to let you know that even though it looks bad, actually it's a time to be joyful. We'll be back right after this.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
God is at work in your life. The problem is that we are too distracted by temporary things to see the big picture of what God is doing both in our life and in the world around us. God has called each of us to follow Him. What does that look like, and how do I do it well? We answer that question in our daily choices. My name is Norman Smith, and Run With Horses is a show dedicated to helping you thrive as a follower of Jesus. It is my goal to follow Jesus and pursue His work in my life with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're like me, you know that the journey isn't easy, and we do it better together. Join me on Revelation Radio for an hour of conversation and encouragement to keep on when times are tough. You can find Run With Horses on Revelation Radio at our new time each Saturday night from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. beginning November 4th. Keep running.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. Mr. David Paxton there on your left. And remember now, if you are just listening to us, you can always go to lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. And that'll give you the links to go through and watch this in visual form. And with all the videos we played, it might be a good time to do that. David, you said we need to finish up about Kissinger, and I agree. This guy was... I don't know. I grew up in the era of Kissinger. You know what I mean? It seemed like everybody thought that he was the greatest thing since sliced bread when it came to foreign policy. And so it doesn't surprise me that he had he may have done this book thing. That really doesn't surprise me. He's Jewish, right? So I'm sure he would have an interest with that as well. What would you like to add about him at this point?
Well, we're wondering if that was actually him that wrote all about the superhumans taking over. Now, I could say, well, maybe not all superhumans. They're trying to set you up for that. Mm-hmm. But one that's going to pretend to be a superhuman.
Right.
And, you know, so now, the former CEO of Google, I mean, come on. That's all he wants to push is this narrative. So it sounds to me like he actually wrote that and not Kissinger, but we'll find out eventually.
Yes,
but here's my take. He's not, he doesn't understand the word anyway. And everyone can say, oh, artificial intelligence. Well, we don't realize it's not intelligent. And that's the thing. It's literally kind of a heavy duty research assistant.
It's a supercomputer. Yeah, it's just like a supercomputer.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It long story short, it searches the entire internet because we're connected to it. It just does it really fast. Mm-hmm. And it forms things that you ask it to form. And it says, okay, well, I have to write this paper. Well, how did all these other people write a paper? Okay, we'll write it like that. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's thinking or anything. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to make everybody think that this thing is like super powerful and all this. Right. People can use it to deceive others, and that's where the issue comes in. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So it can be used to create fake pictures and can be used for fake stuff. Okay, mm-hmm. But any tool you can use for either good or evil, it depends on who's using it.
Right.
And ultimately, it's going to be the Antichrist who does use this as well. Okay, just like we can use it now for preaching the gospel, he can use it for pretending that he came back to life. Right. And when you read Revelation and how it happens, people couldn't understand, what do you mean the image of the beast? And what do you mean he appeared to come back to life? And what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Now we can see, he made a hologram made it look like he rose from the dead, because he has to do it fake. He can't do it for real, so he has to do it fakely. And this is also how they can do the miracles. It clearly says they're going to do miracles.
Yeah.
So how they do that? Well, it could be faked. Mm-hmm. And that's my whole point. But they've come nowhere near. They're not anywhere near even thinking about making this thing sentient. Okay. It does not have a spirit. Spirits can only be created by God. Mm-hmm. But spirits can use it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Spirits can use, just like the spirits that are locked up in the abyss, they need a human body to walk around it. That's just the way it goes, which is why they're trying to open abyss. Which is why they're trying to make superhumans. So these evil spirits that are locked up in the abyss, 90% of them, according to Jubilees, they'll be able to come out, and they need something to run around it. They need a meat suit. And our meat suits aren't strong enough because they're really, you know, they got a lot of energy. And and you see what happens when people get possessed. Their bodies just deteriorate. So they need to somehow create non-deteriorable, if that's a word, bodies. And that's what they're trying to do. That's what they did before the flood. But that's because we had super bodies back then. But now we don't have the super bodies anymore. So they're trying to do it with transhumanism. They're trying to make up all this stuff. And that's where Kissinger is trying to, you know, spread this news. You know, if it's not aliens, it's these superhumans, and and they're going to come down and they're going to be wonderful. No, he's talking about the fallen watchers, and he's talking about the Nephilim. All right, God has that figured out already. Colossians chapter 2 says he defeated them and paraded them around. And he basically triumphed over them already. So if you're in Christ, we have a superior kingdom than all of that. And we need not be worried about Kissinger or the Google guy or whatever.
Well, what I want to hit now, and I agree with you, by the way, on everything you said about Kissinger. But I, right now, what I want to hit on is the fact that World War III is coming. You know, and there's two ways to do this. You can be afraid. You can be scared to death. You know, and if you're a non-Christian, you ought to be. Or if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about it. You just know that God already told us what's going to happen, and we're not going to be here for the bad part. So start off here. David, this is I just kind of pulled just a few scriptures. This is Jeremiah 30, 1 through 3. Do you want to read that, or you want me to?
Sure.
Go ahead.
The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. Why do I see a man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor? And all faces turned pale. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And there is a time of Jacob's trouble, and but he shall be saved out of it.
Okay, so this is the first reference that I'm seeing to Jacob's trouble. And we'll get into that here in just a minute. We'll continue right now. This is Jeremiah 38 through 10. And it says, For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. We got to talk about that, David. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. I like that again, have rest and be quiet. That's the second time that we've seen that. You want to comment on any of that, David?
Yeah, it's talking about that. That's the millennial reign when David will come back and rule. That's what it says, because it's just after Jacob's trouble and all the chaos and mayhem. Matter of fact, even Revelation talks about the people would want to die, but they can't. That's how terrible it will be. And so we just see a bigger picture here in Jeremiah. All the little puzzle pieces were putting together so we can get the one big picture. And that's how God designed it.
Yeah. So you're talking about Jacob's trouble, and that's something that we need to, you know, there's people out there that know what it is, and there's other people that don't. And what Matthew chapter 24, I don't have the slides for it, but we've covered it many times, is written for the Jews. It's written for Israel, Matthew 24. So you tell them about Jacob's trouble. What is Jacob's trouble, David?
Well, Daniel speaks of it as that final week of he's been through 69 weeks already. And then when he when he came to that day of triumph, matter of fact, it was exactly 69 weeks of prophetic years, 360 days, that prophecy came true, like to the day. That's why the Essenes knew which day it was. Okay, this, and it was like, I think it was Sunday. We call it Palm Sunday now, but that's when they, that was when they hailed him as the king.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it was that moment that Israel had the opportunity to receive him. And the reason that last week was broken off is because had they received him at that point, that week would have been tacked in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it would, that last 7 years would have been right there, mm-hmm. and gone forward. But they did not. Jesus says in the end of Matthew 23, the chicken event, mm-hmm. he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chickens. Mm-hmm. But you didn't. So now you're not going to see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So we have this gap, mm-hmm. okay, which was prophesied, by the way. We knew the gap was going to be there because, again, God is on the outside looking in and he knows. Mm-hmm. But he also gives that opportunity for us to allow this to happen. So they didn't, which allowed the Gentiles to come to the Savior as well. Mm-hmm. And here we are at the end of that 2,000-year time period. We're wrapping it up now. Mm-hmm. And now we have that 7 weeks. I mean, excuse me, that 7 years, right. known as 1 week, mm-hmm. that's left. Mm-hmm. And that's when the Antichrist will enforce a covenant, it says. Doesn't say he signs a new treaty, doesn't say he does anything. He enforces one. Mm-hmm. So it could mean that he signed one and then enforces it, or it could mean he enforces an existing one.
Yeah.
So that's yet to be seen, but that's a 7-year period. And then Revelation talks about it all the time. There's a big 7-year period, and it's cut into two pieces and three different ways. It's called, 36 months and 30, how many months? Yeah. Right? No, 42 months.
Yeah, it's got to be more than 36.
42 months and 42 months, and then it counts the days, 1,260 mm-hmm. days, and also counts a time, times, and half a time. Mm-hmm. So it's three different ways he counts the 3.5 years. Yeah. And that equals 7. There have been a couple of teachers that were actually pretty good at some things, but they said, nowhere does it say 7 years. I'm like, it's crystal clear that it's a 7-year period. Yeah. That's known as a time of Jacob's trouble. It's known as the Great Tribulation.
Right.
Even though the Great Tribulation is technically the second half. Mm-hmm. But the entire 7-year period is like light tribulation and then the multiplied tribulation at the end. But the entire thing is God's wrath being poured upon the earth, but it has to play itself out again.
Right.
So that's the time of Jacob's trouble.
Okay. Now, in order for this to happen, there's got to be a lot of chaos, is the best way to say it.
It does, and it pertains to Israel, clearly, because Daniel says, upon thy people, Daniel. Mm-hmm. And Matthew 24 talks about, if you're in Judea and it's on the Sabbath, it's all Jewish language. And mm-hmm. this one specifically says Jacob's trouble.
Yeah.
This 7 years is specifically has to do with Israel, which mm-hmm. is why the church can't be here, because we're in that gap in between.
Yeah. So for everybody out there, the rapture comes first, then the tribulation period. Now, what we are, and by the rapture, what we're talking about is every Christian, living and dead, will be changed in an instant, mm-hmm. and then will join the Lord in the air. And from what we're reading and what we see, they're going to try and say that everybody was taken by UFOs or something. They're really setting it up really good because, I mean, you can't go a week now without some kind of UFO thing coming out. You just can't.
Yep. And ties into the whole supposed Kissinger book. you're going to have superhumans.
Yeah.
Where'd they come from?
Yeah. And, I think transhumanism is real. I think they're going to do it. They're going to try it. I mean, why not?
Well, you got two different angles. So now the people that really think you're an idiot for believing in UFOs, mm-hmm. they're going to say they're going to fall for the transhumanism one.
Right.
And the people who don't like science, the science deniers, are going to fall for the UFO one.
Yeah.
So,
and then
they got both ends covered.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. But to put a little bit more emphasis on it here, there is a former, he used to be the number one general in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But what he did was he said that you know, Ukraine basically couldn't win, and Zelensky fired him. Okay, and now this has been at least a year, you know, since all that happened. But he came out this week and he said World War III has already started. You know, NATO has authorized missiles. And I don't know if you heard the thing with Zelensky or not, but, you know, he said that Russia had upped the ante, basically, you know, because of using this new weapon. Well, what did he just do before that?
That's like slapping somebody. They slap you back. You say, hey, you just started a fight.
Right. I mean, you know, it's the stupidest thing I've ever, you know, and yet the world is all behind it. So here's what we come get out of it.
Also this week, the International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants for Israel's prime minister, the country's former defense minister, as well as several Hamas officials. They're accused of crimes against humanity over the October 7th attack on Israel and the consequent war in Gaza, as William Denzelow reports.
In a unanimous decision, the ICC's three-judge panel said that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Defence Chief Yoav Gallant knowingly and intentionally deprive civilians in Gaza of objects indispensable to their survival. The chamber adds that they bear criminal responsibility for the war crime of starvation as a method of warfare. Israel's long railed against the court, and its president Isaac Herzog calls the ruling a dark day for justice and turns universal justice into a universal laughingstock. The ICC's decision makes Netanyahu an internationally wanted suspect, but both Israel and its main ally, the US, are not among the more than 120 nations that are party to the Rome Statute.
Okay, to go a little bit deeper on that one, the International Criminal Court has issued that arrest warrant for Netanyahu, and there are certain countries, some of which will surprise you, that are in favor of that. The United Kingdom, Canada, France, Hungary is against it. United States is against it. But, I mean, he comes to the United States, he can't go to Canada because he's going to get arrested? I heard Lindsey Graham.
They don't have any jurisdiction to do that. Who is this International Criminal Court? Who are they? Yeah. You just hey, three guys got together. That's like me and you, and we go ahead and we get Mark over here. And we say, okay, well, we just decided we're going to be the criminal court,
right,
and you need to be arrested. Okay, great. Now, who's going to do it? Yeah. It's just a bunch of clowns that have no teeth.
Is that these countries, France, you know, I'm going to use France and Canada. They've said, we will arrest him. If he gets on our soil, we will arrest him. Now, where he goes from there, I don't know. But I can tell you. If they did something like that, isn't that an act of war?
Yeah. They're not going to arrest him. They're just yelling because, you know, listen, he doesn't come over here by himself with his suitcase.
No, okay? No, he does not. No, he doesn't go through customs and all that crap.
Try getting a Canadian Mountie. You know, love them and all, but try getting them against Mossad.
That wouldn't work out well.
Folks, all our Mounties are missing. Where'd they go? I don't know.
All right.
It's not going to happen, especially France. France is just going to yell at him and slap him.
Oh, France is a massive joke. Okay.
Need new loafers over there. That's
We went into Ezekiel a little bit, and I thought I had another one here, but I'll show this one right now. This is something that we need to prepare for, which is Isaiah 17, 1 through 3. The burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aurora are forsaken. They will be flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The fortress also will cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, Damascus is going to go away overnight. You know, and that's the reason I got a picture of the atomic or the nuclear weapon there. But we talked about it on the discipleship study this past Thursday night. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a nuclear weapon. It can be an earthquake. It can be anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could literally have, you know, an earthquake or a volcano would just destroy the city. I don't know if there's one nearby, but I know they had an earthquake anyway. But it could be a meteor like Sodom and Gomorrah. It could be anything. It would. It just says it'll be destroyed overnight. So people are thinking, well, there's only one thing that we can do that can destroy it overnight. But then I think they neglect to say what God can do to destroy it overnight.
Exactly. So in that vein, we'll go here to Psalm 83. I'll let you take over again. Psalm 83, beginning with 1 through 4.
Oh God, do not remain silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do not stand aloof, O God. See how your enemies growl, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, so that Israel's name is remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria has also joined with them, and they have helped the children of Lot.
Okay, so now I have been saying for quite a while that I believe that prophecy is playing out right now, and I'm still convinced of it. And I know we had, was it Zev Parot on the show, which is a Masonic Jew, actually a
Messianic.
What did I say?
Masonic.
Oh, no, he's not Masonic. Okay, I'm so, apologize
Messianic.
For that. I apologize for that one. He's also a rabbi.
He's pretty fly for a rabbi.
Yeah, he has converted to Christianity. And he says that he thinks that Psalm 83 is indeed playing out, but he says it, you know, kind of like it's a continuation thing.
Said, prophecy is pattern. That's a Hebrew mindset.
Yeah,
which just shows, you know, him being a rabbi and having a Hebrew mindset.
Exactly. So anyway, I think that is playing out right now. And then we already showed you Isaiah 17:1. That's a prophecy that is unfulfilled as of yet. As is Ezekiel, and we're not going to do the whole thing. I've got it, but we're not going to do the whole thing here.
What I find interesting about Psalm 83 is that it said, you know, the name of Israel will be no more.
Right.
But remember, in 1948, it was literally down to the last minute, were they going to call it Palestine or Israel?
Right. Yeah.
So it's just the prophecy again, just that, well, Israel was not a nation for 2,000 years. So like close to 2,500. So it's like, okay, he wrote this back then, and it said Israel. Here we are.
Yeah.
So it's prophetic that definitely that is the Israel of the Bible. So there's some that say, oh, they're not the real Jews and this and that. No, they are the real Jews. They're just apostate. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it. They're evil. But they'll repent of that. That's the thing. So you got to pray for your elder brother.
Yeah.
And it will be called Israel. So here we are.
Yeah, I had not noticed that or hadn't paid attention to it, David. There's another one, right? I had not paid attention to the fact that he said Israel. But you are correct. I mean, they didn't really know what it was going to be called right up until the last second. So, you know, that's the hand of God right there coming through. Now, the other possible war deal that we got going on, as I said, is Ezekiel 38:1-6. You want to go ahead and read that one too, David, please?
Oh, sure. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, splendidly clothed. A great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, and all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, and the house of Togarmah, and the far north and all its troops, and many people are with you.
Okay, now, I've got the rest of the scripture, but we don't have time to show everything today.
Right.
But I know some people are going to say, okay, bucklers and shields and horses and all this kind of stuff, you know, okay, mm-hmm. Well, there's two explanations that I can give you. One is the fact that people back, 2,500 and more years ago would not be able to describe to you a tank, an anti-aircraft missile, or anything like that. So they come up with the best thing they can. That's one definition. The other is, as I say, there's a electronic magnetic pulse that takes us back to the Stone Ages, and then we would be fighting with horses and shields and all that stuff. So take your pick. The thing is that all the countries that were shown there are now gathered right there with Israel with bad intentions, and they're coming after them at some point. World War III. It's prophesied. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable, right? David, go ahead. Mm-hmm. You got the last 3 minutes. Go for it.
The whole 3 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is interesting. Everyone says they get the idea that says, it'll, you know, bring Russia down with the jaws and pull them in. Mm-hmm. But as I read verse 4 here, it says, I will turn you back and put hooks in your jaws and bring you forth an all-line army. So this clearly can say, hey, you're gonna bring all your army against Israel. So instead of them, God bringing them down by the jaws, maybe he's like, when they come in, he's going to bring them out by the jaw. Mm-hmm. There's going to be something that takes them out of Israel, which will protect them. So that's interesting. We really have to dig into the language there, into the Hebrew, and see what does that mean. Does it mean he's going to turn them around and take them out? Or does it mean he's going to bring it down?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in either case, it's a whole bunch of nations here. Persia being the easy one. That's Iran et al. And then Ethiopia and Libya. They're all still there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's talk about the... there's a reason. Now Ethiopia, they claim that they have the Ark of the Covenant there.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily just the Ark, but maybe just the mercy seat. Okay, because the Ark was basically acacia wood, and the acacia wood would have deteriorated. But the mercy seat was solid gold. So that's interesting, you know, to bring now. Are they coming down to get that? Why is Ethiopia in this? And then... Mm-hmm. To tie that together, it says there'll be an altar at the border and in the middle. Okay. Mm-hmm. I forget where it is right now. We don't have time to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But that leads to the right in the center of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got Egypt in there as the pyramids, and that's exactly where they are. They're in this, they're like right at the border of northern Egypt and southern Egypt, which used to be two different countries. Right. But when you put them together, it's in the center. So you start putting all these puzzle pieces together, okay? Why is there a hoopla, you know, over there in Egypt? Why, as we're talking about Persia, why do we got Ethiopia in on this with the Ark of the Covenant? Why are all these things coming together now when they haven't been for, like, millennia, for 2,000 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we really have to think of, and that's because we're at the end of the age, people,
mm-hmm.
which means Jesus is coming back to get his bride before he unleashes his wrath upon the earth for that final 7 years. So today is the day of salvation. If you have not received Jesus, you better do it today. You might not have this afternoon. You might not have tomorrow.
Amen.
Okay. And it's real simple. He signed a blood contract for you. Receive that. Receive your contract, sign your signature on it and say, I received the blood of Jesus. Lord willing, we'll see you on the next show. You have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter if you're an independent. The only thing that really matters is getting news that is correct. And you can only do that from the perspective of what God believes. If you want the real news and look at it from the lens of current events. Tune in to The Last Christian every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net.